Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Lisa Hawkins, and I will be the host for today's Hinckley Forum. The Hinckley Institute was established in 1965 through the generous bequest of the Noble Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students respect for practical politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships to students of all majors here locally in Washington, D.C., and in 35 countries around the globe. The Hinckley Institute also offers classes, the nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences to Washington, D.C., and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door or to our website, www.hinckley.utah.edu, for more information. The title of today's forum is The State of ASUU, and I would like to introduce the Chief of Staff of ASUU, who is also an International Studies major with an emphasis in trade and commerce. Please help me welcome Scott Thatcher.
I thought it'd be a really long time before I got introduced to the Hinckley Forum, so I'm really grateful for that today. I just want to welcome you all here today and tell you how much we're grateful for all of you being here and for caring about the University of Utah and the associated students of the University of Utah. My name is Scott Thatcher, like was said. I'm the Chief of Staff for ASUU, and my responsibilities are more internal with ASUU to make sure that everything is running well, and it's my opportunity to introduce and welcome you all here and to introduce our some of the speakers that we're going to have today, and then kind of just let you know how the rest of the meeting will be going. So just as a little bit of a way of the agenda, we will, after this, move into a vice presidential address by Sarah Seastrand, presidential address by Sam Ortiz, a director address by Carmen Gold, expressing her experience in ASUU, and then the rest of the meeting will be devoted to question and answer and to kind of move into the town hall portion of the State of ASUU meeting. So we're really looking forward to all of your questions and any feedback that you may have for us, and we're looking forward to that. It's my privilege now to introduce Sarah Seastrand and Sam Ortiz, who are the president and vice president of the Associated Students at the University of Utah. And it's been my privilege to work closely with them and to know of the devotion that they have for students, the devotion they have to making the University of Utah a better place. And it's now we'll move into that, and I'll turn the time over right now to Sarah to give her vice presidential address. Sarah.
Hey everyone, it's so nice to be here and to talk to you a little bit about ASU and what we've been doing this year and to kind of give you a report. Starting off this year, when Sam and I entered into office, we realized that there's not a lot of Pac-12 collaboration with student government. And so looking at that, Sam and I both thought that increasing Pac-12 collaboration for the University of Utah was crucial for us to make sure that we can best serve the needs of students by looking at what other schools are doing and the ways that they are being impactful on their campuses. And so with that, Sam and I decided this year to host the first ever Pac-12 Student Leader Summit. And so what that summit basically was to unite the student body presidents and vice presidents and other student government leaders of the Pac-12 and provide a format for them to increase collaboration and communication and to talk about what they were doing on their campuses and also to see if there's an initiative that we could all work on together across the Pac-12. And so in initiating this conference, it's the first time that it has ever been done in the Pac-12. There's other big conferences that have it, like the Big Ten, and some other conferences have a student government summit, but this was the first one for the Pac-12. So we initiated that summit and reached out to all the schools, and we had 10 of the 12 Pac-12 student leaders here, and we were able to show off our campus by showing them places like the Huntsman Cancer Institute and the new Spence Fox Eccles Business Building and the football facility. So to really highlight our campus to these student government leaders and then also Through the summit, we established the first ever Pac-12 mission statement, which showcases the values of the universities of the Pac-12 conference. And then we're also working to get all the Pac-12 schools on board with a Pac-12 initiative, which focuses on inclusivity on all of our campuses. And so that was a big project that we undertook this year, and we were thrilled with the outcome of that project. In addition, as vice president, I work closely with the assembly representatives, and so we got a brand new set of assembly representatives this year. I think there were two assembly representatives that were returning, and everyone else was brand new. And so from that, we established some really great trainings and taught everyone about parliamentary procedure and how to be effective in their role. And we also changed the pay structure a little bit to make sure that we were reaching out to students. And so that's kind of an assembly update. And then another thing Sam and I have been working really closely on is childcare. And so I will let Sam talk more about childcare and what we've been doing with that. But overall, this has been a great year, and it's been so fun to see the progress of the Pac-12 and the assembly and student government here at the University of Utah. And so with that, I'll turn the time over to Sam. Thank you.
How's everyone doing? We have a packed room today. That's a little bit different from the first town hall we did, where it was pretty much just ASU directors. So it's nice to see all of you here today supporting us and hearing what we have to say. State of ASU sounds so official. I wish I had like a good like Obama impression I could do, but I'm just going to do me and hope that works. So I'm excited to share with you, you know, what a great year it's been. And it's a little crazy that it's starting to wind down. You know, elections have started, and our time is soon up. Elections, as I mentioned, are going on, and I would like to encourage everyone here to reach out to the various individuals running, get to know them, what they stand for, what their goals and hopes for the university are, and to make sure to vote. I hope that every student feels invested in what ASU is doing, because we strive to represent you and your voice, and that can only really happen if you're willing to participate in that process. So with that, we came into office with four platforms or core values, and I'd like to do now is kind of just break those down and go over what we've been doing in regards to those four platforms. So those four platforms were sustainability, inclusivity, diversity, and transparency. So to start off, I'm gonna go ahead and hit on sustainability. We've been able to continue the great tradition of Recycle Recycles, partnering with facilities and the Eccles Stadium to collect over 25,000 pounds of recyclable materials, which is significant. We've had hundreds of volunteers participate in that process as well to ensure that continues. We've also, through the legislative process, received funding for two bills. Representative Mark Pittman from the law school led the way in getting funding for car charging stations on campus and water bottle refilling stations. What was really great about both of these was that rather than ASU approaching any of these issues alone, we were able to partner with parking services to get them to put half of the funding for the electric car stations. And for the water bottle refilling stations, we partnered with President Pershing and got a commitment from him that every building on campus will have water bottle refilling stations, and that any new building moving forward will include in its plans water bottle refilling stations. These are significant initiatives that have impact not just on our campus but on our wider community, and we're excited to see those things moving forward. We are also, our sustainability board is also partnering with Mayor Becker, advocating for his clean air initiatives and putting that student voice behind some of the things that he is pushing at the state legislature. The next platform that I'll hit on is inclusivity. So a major thing that we've really tried to emphasize in being more inclusive is collaborating with outside or other organizations and groups on campus. Rather than ASU planning deciding on events and executing them alone, we've tried to reach out to a greater community, a campus community. So we created a collaborations board with the sole focus of reaching out to student groups, to other parts of campus, and inviting them to help us plan these events and get a better idea of what students want. So we started off the year with a collaboration with RHA hosting a concert in housing. And we've continued with MLK Week, where we had some great events, including bringing Sabrina Fulton on campus, the mother of Trayvon Martin, where we were able to hear her story and share in her strength and resilience, and also continue what can be a difficult conversation on the state of race in our society. We worked with LGBT Week and committee on the events they did. We've partnered with the Bennion Center on several of their community projects, and also to provide funding for the alternative fall and spring break programs to make them slightly more affordable and accessible to students. We also started a really exciting series, our Lunchbox Concert Series, that we've partnered with KU Radio on, where we've brought local bands to campus, and each of these bands we required to have at least one U student on that band, so that we were able to highlight these bands and give them an avenue where they could share their talents with their peers, and also have some entertainment during lunch for our students. And we've been able to partner or continue a great partnership with the Hinckley Institute of Politics to provide a number of forums ranging from issues across the political spectrum and also this very event and many other groups that we've been able to partner with. We've also worked really hard to try and create an office environment that's more welcoming. So we've asked every director, it is required of every of our directors to participate in diversity training and go to diversity events, which includes the safe zone trainings. We know we still have a long way to go in this regards, but we hope that that we've started moving in the right direction. And as well, we every year ASU does a survey where we ask students what they'd like to see on campus. So we took the survey, we evaluated what kinds of events students wanted to see, and we tried to respond to that by being intentional about our programming. Our campus events board responded to that feedback. One of the things that we heard was that students wanted more formal dances. So we have, Crimson Nights that the Union Programming Council holds, which are, just really successful. But we only have homecoming for more formal dances. And that homecoming has been incredibly successful as well. So we decided that we wanted to bring another dance. We created the Winter Masquerade Ball. And it was a great event. We held it at the Eccles Tower, there by the stadium, and it was really fun. So we have taken that feedback to heart, and we hope to continue using that feedback in the future. Also, we have 550 student groups on campus that ASU supports. Thus far, we have allocated $576,493.13 to these 550 student groups. Last year's total was $488,000. So we've already exceeded the total of last year by almost $100,000 with three more months to go. This is really crucial because this is student money, and this is one of the ways that we get that money back to students through that legislative process. And so we're excited to see more students using our legislative process and that our legislature is responding to those requests in a positive way. And then next, to talk a little bit about diversity. So one of the things that has been big for me is the campus climate, in particular our classrooms. Each of us as students will spend some time in a classroom. And what we hope is that every classroom is safe for every student, regardless of their background, that nothing is said by a teacher or by one of their peers that makes a classroom unsafe, unwelcoming, that makes a student not want to contribute or be a part of that learning process. So what we are working on is creating a diversity faculty training as a resource to our faculty members to help them hopefully mitigate any potential discriminatory remarks that may be said, and if something is said, how to respond to that. In partnership with that, Belinda Saltibon, The new university director of campus climate and inclusivity has worked to put together a bias incident response team. This team will be ready, and we're kicking that off with an event this Thursday where Patrick Sims will be speaking on campus climate from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Saltaire Room. So if you're a student that experiences anything that may make you feel unsafe, uncomfortable, or explicitly racist or discriminatory, you can take that to Belinda and her team, and they will respond appropriately and potentially using the diversity faculty training, which we are still developing. And then we've been working, as Sarah mentioned, on infant child care. About a quarter of our students are parent students. So if they don't have access to affordable child care, then they can't be successful here on our campus. So Sarah, who sits on several child care committees, myself and Kendall Melvin have worked really hard to secure space and funding for infant child care, which includes from 6 weeks to 12 months. Currently, there are zero spaces on campus for infants. And we've had experiences in our own office where a director with a new child was unable to attend classes or meetings because they were unable to find child care. So we're excited that starting in the fall, this will be available to our student parents. And we also like to thank, you know, President Pershing and our university administration for responding when we mentioned the need for this on campus and being such great allies in this and other initiatives that we've brought to their attention. And then the last one, transparency. So I feel strongly that closely tied to transparency is accessibility of myself, of information. So we have worked hard, myself, to be available to students. On my business card, I have not just my email, but my cell phone number. And I'm always open to personally responding to any concerns or requests that a student has. We have a policy in our office that all emails should receive a reply within 48 hours so that students hear back from us and know that whatever concern they may have is being worked on. We post budgets online. We have worked hard to market what we're doing so that students are aware of what's going on in ASU. And then a big thanks to our Chief of Staff, Scott, for putting events like this together where we can have direct communication and dialogue with students. And we're really looking forward to the question and answer session and to answering to the best of our ability your questions. So with that, with those four initiatives, you know, we definitely concede that there that we could have done a lot more, and we're excited to still do more. But the semester is not over yet. We have a lot of exciting things coming up. The legislative session is going on this very moment. If you have an issue that you're passionate about, we have a great director of government relations who will connect you to the right resources, give you the right tools, so that you can be an advocate for those issues you care about, regardless of what they may be. We're also up there quite often advocating for student issues, whether that be funding for higher education, for the facilities that make our university great, for equitable compensation to our faculty. Those are things that we want to address at the legislature, and we invite all of you to join us in that process. We'll be having a showcase for a cappella groups throughout the state that we're excited to put on. In a few weeks, we'll be announcing Grand Kerfuffle. I won't be saying who that is at this moment, but I can say that we have some top-tier talent. I'm pretty excited about who we're bringing. I think most of you, when you hear the lineup that we have, will also be excited. So we hope to see you all there. And this very week, we have some events coming up. Like I mentioned, we have that Bias Incident Response Team event this Thursday in the Saltaire Room from 2 to 4. We will be having a showing of the Bridegroom movie. This is a collaboration with the Union Programming Council. Also this Thursday at 6 in the Saltaire Room. This film is about a same-sex couple. It shows the great love that they had for each other and some of the tragic things that they went through. We think this is a very timely subject for what, the what our state has been going through. And we were fortunate enough that one of the individuals featured in the film will be present at that showing. So that will be a great opportunity to continue the dialogue about such an important issue. And then this Sunday, we have an Oscars watch party that our films board is doing. So if you're a films buff or just want to get away from homework, this Sunday at the Post Theater, there'll be free food. It'll be a good opportunity to come join us, hang out, and watch the Oscars. So with that, just to kind of close my remarks, I just want to share, you know, we're not done yet, but how much of a pleasure it has been for me to serve as a student body president. It has been kind of a, you know, there have been a lot of challenges that we faced, but I definitely want to applaud the great work that our directors, our associate directors, our board members, and volunteers have done in making ASU the great organization that it is. Even with all the flaws and mistakes that we may have made, we have a team dedicated to serving you and to making the University of Utah the best that it can be. I personally love the University of Utah and its students, and feel fortunate to have been in this position where I've had the opportunity and voice to hopefully meaningfully impact each of you. And I'm excited for the next group that will come in, and know that regardless of who wins, we'll be in good hands. And so with that, thank you again for coming and for listening to our what we have.
Hi, guys. So I'm going to talk. I'm a director. I've been the director of marketing for a couple years now. So I'm just going to kind of speak about my experience that I've had in ASU and, like, the leadership and just how it has, like, impacted me. So for me, like, when I think about this, like, people have asked me, like, for the 4 years that I have been in ASU, because I started in ASU when I was a freshman, it's like, why did you get involved? And I think about it for a while, and, like, I got involved because I knew I wanted to have, like, the memories, the experiences that you can walk away with, which a lot of people can't do. But it was more than just, like, the memories and, like, the experiences. It's about making, like, an impact. And I knew that ASU could possibly do that for me. So I remember walking in to ASU my freshman year and thinking about, you know, I wanted memories, experiences, and then I wanted to make an impact. So, but not only with an impact, but with an impact of a certain interest that I had. And my certain interest is within marketing, design, and having that creative outlet outside of the classroom. So the marketing board is exactly where I wanted to go and where I fit in. And what I think that's what's great about ASU is no matter what you're interested in, there is a spot for you in ASU. And if there's nothing there for you that you see, you're welcome to start something. And we have so many student groups that you can start, you can join, and then also just all the different boards that you can be a part of to, you know, make that little impact and be involved and find your fit in ASU. So for me, just starting off, you know, my freshman year of getting involved with marketing and finding my fit and getting that design and creative outlet that I wanted outside of the classroom. So with that, like I said, I have been in marketing for 4 years, and I've had the pleasure of being an ASU director for the past for marketing for the past 2 years. So I've really got, like, a full perspective of everything marketing could go good and also go really wrong at the same time. So, but ASU with marketing has been a wonderful experience because not only have I been able to help get the word out, but it's also made me a lot confident person. And really, I've worked through problems that I probably wouldn't have had the opportunity of working through with, you know, deadlines and with other people, other clients, for example, because we work with each, because I have the opportunity of working with each one of the directors in ASU. So not only do I just get the word out about ASU, but get out the word about all the events and working with all that. So that connection you have to make and the communication and the confidence that you have to have is something that I don't think I would have learned in a classroom that I got the opportunity to do in ASU, working through those logistical problems, and then for me also just the creative problems, which has been a really cool experience that I don't think, like I said, I wouldn't have got in a classroom setting. So for me, also with the marketing, it's also, we've definitely seen an improvement with involvement just by getting the word out, and that's something that for me was that the impact part of it. So going away from it, as I leave this year, I definitely know that I have left an impact in the fact that people are getting the understanding, like, what ASU is and wanting to know more about ASU is just getting the word out and making that small impact. Like, when I walk through campus and see all the posters and see things, and then when I go to an event and see people that are there at the events, I know that I made my small impact on campus for other students to get involved and to enjoy the events there. So, I mean, so for the most part, that has been my experience, and that is something that I encourage a lot of people to come to ASU to do, is to find what fits for you and make your impact in whatever way that necessarily would be. So if you have any other questions, we will start that, and then also specifically within marketing, my door is always open.
Yeah, thank you, Carmen. And like we said, you know, now we're going to kind of move into now the town hall portion of the meeting, the question and answer. If you'd like to give us any of your feedback, things that you have experienced as a student, these are all things that we really do care about. And this is why we want to have these kind of meetings, is to know what students want, to know what students are facing, so that we can do our very best to advocate for students. So now I'm going to turn the time over to Kendall Melvin and to Sam Ortiz, who are going to be fielding many of the questions, and they'll kind of introduce the rest of it. So,
and we ask, if you do have a question, please wait for the microphone and say your full name, so your first and last name. You can also say your major if you'd like.
Great. So, yeah, if you have a question, go ahead and stand up, and I will answer most of them. We also have some directors here in the audience. I don't know if they know this, but I may ask them to answer some of the questions as well as it pertains to their area of expertise. Any questions? We have some of our own, too, that we'll ask ourselves.
Hi, my name's Haley Ingham, and I'm a sophomore, and I was just kind of curious if you guys have had any, like, initiatives over the past year for Greek life organizations, considering we are some of the largest student groups on campus. So I'm just kind of curious. I wasn't really well-versed on that, but yeah.
Yeah, so you wanted to know about initiatives for Greek life?
Yeah,
that's a great question. So, yeah, you're right. I would say that some of the most active, passionate students on our campus are in fraternities and sororities. I don't think that we have intentionally done programming or events for people who belong to a fraternity or sorority, but I think naturally, like, our concerts and a lot of the speakers that we bring tend to draw, you know, some of those individuals. We hope that that we're casting a wide net in the types of events that we're bringing, and that you may not like every event that we have, but that you'll like a few of them throughout the course of a year. So I guess no would be the direct answer.
In addition, the University of Utah has Greek Council, and so I think they cover a lot of
they do some of the programs
that are specific to Greek sororities and fraternities. ASU, you know, is tailored to all students regardless of affiliation in any student organization.
Yeah. Thank you for your question.
And then one last thing. With some of the bills that have come through, like with the assembly, I know that we have provided funding to different fraternities and sororities that have asked for funding. So that would be a specific way, if you go through our legislative process, if you needed funding for an event that you have. I know we've provided funding to Sigma Chi and some of the other fraternities and sororities that have requested funding for their budgets.
Hi, my name is George Reyes, and I'm a freshman here at the U. With ASU, you were saying that if you didn't find something that you belong to, you could start your own thing. Can you describe some of the things that would be required that you have to meet or something like that if you do start your own thing?
Sure, I can answer that. So our requirements to start a student group are pretty simple. We require three matriculated students, so using their student ID to, like, register the group. We also ask that you put together, like, a constitution, and that's not a very difficult process. Just kind of, like, the purpose of your student group, the name, because there are some regulations on, like, what you can use and for your name. But I think that's – is that it, Tom, pretty much?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You can do that online.
Yeah.
And then once you're approved, you can
– Yeah, and that can take a week, So very fast turnaround to become a student group, and you can immediately start requesting funding. And student groups can request up to $5,000 of funding. So.
And also, if you have any questions, just hearing the process, if you have any questions later and you want to start something, the advisors in ASU that have worked here for years have a lot of experience in helping student groups, and they're so outgoing and welcoming of students, and I know that they would be more than happy to help you if you wanted any direct help with the process.
Also, Lisa Palamaki, who's our Associate Director of Campus Relations, they kind of oversee a lot of that as well. Feel free to ask her any questions as well for afterwards for specifics. Behind you.
All right. Good afternoon. Thank you for your presentation. Do I really need this? Okay. My name is Blake Jovet, and I'm in the Business School for Accounting. I have a question about, for some of the newer organizations, some of the newer clubs that are on campus. In specific, I'm going to put a shout-out for the Ethics Club. We could use a little bit of a guide, in a way. Do you know if there's any representatives of the student body organization of ASU that could help kind of like a link officer to show us some of the ropes, some of the things that we can do to work better on campus with other programs, things like that?
That is a great question. And we actually have an entire board directly dedicated to working with student groups. Like I mentioned, Lisa Palamaki, do you want to stand up really quick? Maybe wave your hand. She's to put you on the spot, you know. If you reach out to the Campus Relations Board, they have presentations. They can meet with you one-on-one, guide you through the process of, you know, how to be a successful group, how to get funding, maybe how to grow your group, et cetera. They have a lot of those resources and are very accessible and willing to meet with you and share those things with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so now we're going to ask ourselves questions. So I think this is something that's kind of been answered by Carmen, and a lot of you probably already know, but I think it's good to just remind you, why should someone get involved in ASU and participate?
Yeah, so I think it's kind of been previously mentioned, but there's so many different opportunities to get involved in ASU with the variety of boards that we offer, also with the Assembly and the Senate. There's so many different avenues for students to get involved. Whether you're interested in marketing or you're interested in politics, there's a board for you to get involved and to get some hands-on experience while you're earning your degree. And so with that, with Sam and I getting involved this year, I think we've learned a lot about the different opportunities that are available for students and that can really enrich the academic experience. So often students just come to class and then they go home, but there's so many other opportunities to get an education that extends just beyond the classroom. Like Carmen mentioned, with learning more about marketing and how that's really helped her with her major and the things that she wants to do, seeing things that can go wrong and seeing things that can be really effective. And so with that, it's just another great opportunity for students to enhance what they're trying to accomplish while at the University of Utah.
We have one.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Better than me asking.
Of course. So, another avenue that I was considering as far as participating on campus, things like that, would be the Presidential Ambassadors, what is that again? Internship, I guess. And even if I were not to be selected to be a part of that select group, it seems like there's a really unique opportunity there for having contact with President Pershing. And for, once again, the Ethics Club, we could use a little bit of help, not only within the business school itself, but also with maybe connections that President Pershing has of inviting people who have demonstrated exceptional character in the business world to come and speak and possibly motivate the students here and bring awareness to ethical thinking.
So really quickly, so that is actually a great opportunity. It's not directly within ASU scope, but we just happen to have a former presidential intern up here, so I'll let her talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so ASU, we are not a part of the Presidential Ambassador Program. That's directly under President Pershing and his administration, but that is an amazing opportunity for students to get involved. one thing that I learned last year and that I've continually learned this year is just what a great leader President Pershing is and how he's so open to hearing what students want and need and then taking action in order to fulfill the needs and wants of students. And so with that ambassadorship program, we highly recommend it for students. To get to know a university president in that capacity is an incredible opportunity. And getting involved in ASU, definitely the president and vice president, we're able to work closely with President Pershing by having monthly meetings with him. And we actually got to go to lunch with him just the other week to talk about what we're doing and what we want to see happen at the University of Utah. But I think with the ambassadorship and with ASU, it speaks to the leadership that we have at the University of Utah and the administration under President Pershing and how they're so willing and wanting to help students and to really hear the student voice.
It's kind of extend off that a little bit. You know, when we talk about student involvement, I'm definitely partial to ASU, but I also recognize that, you know, there are a lot of different ways to get involved on campus, and I think any involvement on campus is critical, whether that be ASU, and I know that ASU is not for every student, or the Benyon Center, or the Hinckley Institute, or presidential ambassadorship. I would highly encourage students to look for those opportunities to grow personally and to have a more, you know, fulfilling experience at the University of Utah.
Hi, my name is Nisha Kavalam, and I'm studying social work here. And my question was, how much of your effort and consideration did you put into continuing on what previous student governments have done? And if you do think that's important, I was hoping you could speak to that.
Definitely. So, yeah. A lot of what I'm doing personally and Sarah directly ties to the work that our previous student body president, Geneva Thompson, worked on. So that's a great question. She is the main reason that we have a new director of campus climate and inclusivity, and the person that I've been working primarily on the faculty diversity training and the bias incident response team. So I recognized really quickly that I was in a really fortunate position, that a lot of the foundational work had been laid out before me, and I took advantage of that. And Geneva did a lot of great work, not just with that, but the previous directors. I mean, we are where we are because of those who kind of came before, and we recognize that and have utilized, the events that they've done that have been successful, the things that maybe weren't as successful. A lot of that feedback we definitely took into consideration. We have great advisors who help with that continuity. Some of them are standing in the back, Tom Hurtado, Eric Anderson, Jen Zell Tudor, who have been with, you know, previous administrations, have seen the successes, have seen those things that haven't been as successful, and have shared those things with us. And that partnership has been really great. And we hope as well that extends to the future, you know, and the work that, you know, we're doing this year will continue on. A lot of the really substantive changes take multiple years to accomplish. Obviously, I'm impatient because I want things done by the time that I graduate. But I also see the big picture and know that the real meaningful changes take time. And unfortunately, the university sometimes moves slowly. So rather than abandoning those efforts, pushing forward and hoping that the next group takes up that, you know, that mantle and continues fighting for those changes that we need.
And with it, I think, going along with what Sam said, the really substantive changes do take more time. And so with that, another thing that Sam and I are doing that a previous administration did was Neela Pack. She was big in – she was a big force for getting the new Student Life Center that's being constructed right now. And so in continuing her efforts, Sam and I both sit on the steering committee of that project to make sure that the student voice is heard and that student input is put into the design of that building. And so that's another way that we're still communicating with a project that a previous ASU administration did. And then also in continuing our efforts for next year, so as I previously mentioned with the Pac-12 Student Leader Summit, that was the first time the Pac-12 had all the student government leaders meet together. And that project is also going to continue as an annual event. It was fun. We did such a great job here at the University of Utah that each Pac-12 school was almost fighting to have the opportunity to host the next summit. And so the next summit will actually be hosted at Washington State next year, but it'll continue as an annual event, and that'll be something that ASU is continually involved with year after year, and it'll continue to enhance our conference and the University of Utah. So with the changes that we're making, I mean, we have initiatives, and we really – your administration kind of sets down the groundwork, but then the next administration continue to work on those initiatives to make sure that we're still helping students in the ways that previous administrations saw that students really needed help.
We have one up here.
My name's Julie Clark. I'm a senior at the U. I had a question. You mentioned the infant child care. So I think that's kind of a way to help non-traditional students make life a little bit easier for them. I was wondering if you had any more initiatives for non-traditional students, meaning, you know, commuting students, students who work full-time. Are you pushing, helping push for night classes? Or even, like, I feel like it'd be hard for me to join some of these groups that you're talking about just because I'm working always during the day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how exactly I'd be able to get involved in that way. Is there a way to help cater, or is it usually for the students who can, you know?
That is a really great question, and that is something that we have identified to be a concern and problem. How do we, you know, reach commuter students? You mentioned a couple of ideas, like more night classes. I haven't had that discussion yet, but that is a really great idea. And so that's definitely something I would be willing to look into and ask about. So some of the small things that we try and do is vary the times where we have events. So we have daytime events where students might be just getting out of class rather than just evening events where they may have already gone home and it's difficult for them to come back. That's a small thing, and we can't always do that, but that's something that's always part of our conversation, and we're definitely thinking about, you know, non-traditional students. And you could definitely say that we need to do maybe more. We have a non-traditional board, and they're specifically trying to target, you know, non-traditional students. It's difficult because even the category of non-traditional student is so diverse and with student demographics that have very different needs. It includes international students, married students, parents, veterans. And so it's hard to have to target just non-traditional students. You have to be a little bit more intentional about what that means. We're definitely trying to be better at that. And that's a conversation I've been having. And that will be an issue that the next administration will definitely need to take a look at. And we hope that some of, you know, our struggles, our lack of, you know, or maybe some of the things that we could have done better as we communicate that they'll be able to make those adjustments and serve a wider group of students.
And I think also with just getting involved in ASU and with non-traditional students, we try to be more flexible with the students and their schedules and how they're involved. Like, for instance, our community service director, he works full-time for the governor, but we work with him to make sure that he's still getting the work done for our community service board, but it's in a way that can kind of go with his schedule because we realize that he's very busy working for the governor, that he has a full-time job. He also has a wife and a child. And so with ASU, you might not be able to kind of do what the majority of people are doing, but we've also really tried to work to make sure that anybody who wants to get involved, you can still get involved, and we'll work with the hours that fit your schedule so that you can have ASU be a part of your undergraduate experience.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing that we have been fortunate to do is we have, you know, a very diverse student association. So we have directors and associate directors who are married, who have children, who are veterans, who are international students. So they're able to, you know, continually give us that feedback. And that has been something that we intentionally have tried to do, is to have them be part of our, you know, leadership, so that they can be part of, you know, like those discussions. And I think that has helped a little bit, but there's still a lot of work to do. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, so as here's an old name, Dr. Jones had woefully instructed us in his American government class. Ooh, I love that man. But the ASVU is set up in the same organization as the United States government itself. So if I remember correctly, I think I read somewhere that there's representatives that serve almost as congressmen that actually represent the different colleges on campus. And I would like to know how those specific representatives get elected, or if they are placed in office through those parties that are running for the cabinet, like the Unite Party, that kind of thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I love Dr. Jones as well. He made me a political science major. So I share your love for him. But with the different representatives, so there are representatives that represent each college at the University of Utah. There's both senators and assembly representatives. And so with that, those representatives are elected through their college. And so when you go to vote, being a political science major, I would vote for the College of Social and Behavioral Science representative. And so each student with a declared major can vote for that elected representative, and so they're each chosen by the colleges.
Yeah, does that answer your question? Kind of.
So, when does that occur? Does that happen through email, or is there?
So yeah, you should be getting emails from me actually about voting, and voting starts on Monday, just on your CIS. Like I mentioned, we encourage you to go out. You could go out just right after to, you know, the Library Plaza. Those running will probably be out there. You can ask them questions about what they want to do, but we do really highly encourage every student to vote and be invested in what ASU is doing. So are you a political science major?
No.
Oh, okay.
Accounting.
Okay. Business. Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. So I believe business has five representatives, four or five, and one senator. And so you'll get to vote for all of those individuals.
So are those representatives specifically tied to the groups of students that are running?
So they can be, or they can be independent.
Are they elected only in the business college itself, for example?
Yeah, I mean, they traditionally, you know, students running for an office will affiliate with a party and run as a group, but some may choose to run independently, okay, just on their own.
All right. Well, thank you.
Okay, so I had a question continuing from that. Could you explain what happens when a party runs, but the party loses and individuals win? How exactly does that work?
Okay, so other than the president and vice president, every assembly representative and senator is elected kind of on their own. You could have half of the senators from one group and half from another group win, and that's just kind of what happens, and they have to work together and get things done for students regardless. But that's completely in the hands of, you know, students voting.
And with the recent primaries of the parties, you might have noticed that it kind of complicated things a little bit, because then you had a third party and there was a president and vice president, and the other two parties had to fill spots within their assembly and senators. And so what happens in that process is the third party, assembly representatives and senators go to the two other parties.
Or they can choose to run independently.
Or they can choose to run independently.
Once
they make the primaries. So once they've been elected through the primary.
Or
not,
when,
elected,
not elected,
but...
Yeah.
But pass through the first process.
All right, we have time for about two more questions.
Great.
My name is Derek Deitch. I am a marketing major here, and my question is actually for Kendall, since you haven't had a lot of chance to talk, but I'm just kind of curious what kind of services you've been working on for seniors this year, because I know that's something that you're really looking at. Yeah. So what kinds of things have you been working on?
Yeah, so right now I'm all about commencement. One of the biggest traditional jobs of the senior class president is working on commencement. So one of the traditional problems at the University of Utah, I shouldn't say traditional, recurring problems at the U is that students don't come to commencement. They don't even know about it. They don't even know, you know, that they could go to commencement. And so one of the things we've been working on specifically for seniors this year is how do we get them notified that they get this celebration of their incredible academic achievements. So I've been spending a lot of time with marketing departments of the U in order to better promote those events to students. The events surrounding commencement, we're trying to look at ways to make commencement more fun and exciting, and ways in which to promote that specifically to seniors, because we want them, you know, not just seniors, but, well, I guess you are a senior if you're graduating, but students, you know, should celebrate their academic achievement with their families, and so we want to make sure that the attendance is rising. Other things that we've been working on, the senior class gift obviously has been something that we've been working on all year, and we're really proud of that. And then traditional senior class link, that kind of thing. And then we're working, right now I'm working with the Alumni Association and with Career Services to see if we can work on a partnership to create a day specifically for seniors. Also juniors, because I think it's important to kind of be looking ahead as a junior. So we've been meeting regularly to discuss, you know, creating something like a Plaza Fest or something like that for seniors prior to graduation that would give them job resources, internship resources, you know, the kind of things that they could use going forward and leaving the university. And that's still in the works. We'll see if we can pull it off this year. And if not, that's something kind of like Sam and Sarah have mentioned that we hope future administrations will continue to work on, because like they said, these things take time. Does that answer your question?
One more question?
I can ask one of ourselves. Good. Which one do you guys like?
Anyone, you said you had a bunch. Do you have one more?
These are all we've kind of experienced, yeah. Things, I feel like.
Well, now the door's wide open, isn't it?
So, world.
Let's see. I've noticed that the more that our school is growing and accepting larger offers, such as the Pac-12 conference, things like that, that other businesses, of course, this works along with the rest of the state, have been moving into town. But I'm guessing a lot of that has to do with a lot of recruitment. Do you know of any other possibilities of future colleges that will be opening on campus, such as the mining engineering that has greatly grown in the last several years, or other businesses that will be moving into the Valley?
So you asked if there's going to be a new college on campus?
Yes.
Okay. I don't believe so. That process is pretty expensive, strenuous. And it takes a lot of time. I haven't heard of any discussion at all. So in the near future, I don't think that's going to take place. I mean, we just opened the new College of Dentistry, and that was, I mean, that in and of itself was a huge kind of, you know,
10-year process.
Yeah. So that process hadn't even begun for anything. So I don't think that'll happen. And then you also mentioned about businesses.
Yes, for example, Goldman Sachs moving operations more into downtown.
Okay, I don't know anything specifically. I know that businesses do look for like a robust educational institution when looking for places to locate to. They want a workforce that's prepared, you know, to meet those challenges. And I think the U is that institution, and it's attractive to employers. And I think that's been a great boon to the state of Utah. And I think the legislature recognizes that.
I think also with different athletics, they always showcase. If you watch the Pac-12 Network, they showcase not only the athletics, but also our state. And so I think by being a part of the Pac-12 Conference, it does get a lot of great publicity for the University of Utah, and kind of showcasing that there's a lot of opportunities for businesses and for students to come to the University of Utah. So I think that does help as well.
All right. Thank you for all your questions.
Thank you.
All right, and just in closing, we'd just like to thank the Hinckley Institute again for letting us come and do this here. For all of you that showed up today, this is what we do. This is what our job is all about. This is why we are so passionate about getting involved, and we all want you to get involved as well. whether that be in ASUU or another campus entity or starting your own club like we talked about today. And if anybody else has any further questions as well, always feel free to come into our office. We're in the Union Building, room 234. We'd love to talk with you further. We'd love to help you get through any of the processes of starting a new club, about getting funding, about navigating some of the some of the red tape that comes with ASUU or with funding or with any of those things. We'd love to help you with that. And if there's anything else, we'll be here a little bit afterwards as well. So just like to thank the Hinckley Institute again, and thank you for all for coming.